Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, Burr, it's cold. But it'll be warm inside today with our special guest, Tom Carozza, comedy crooner. Tom is a founding member of the First Amendment Improv Company in New York City and has taught at Second City HB Studios, New York Conservatory of Dramatic Arts, the comic strip, Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. He was a member of the four-man comedy group, Mental Furniture. He's written and produced several plays, including one of my favorites, Area 51, the musical. Oh, yeah, which featured the music, two original songs by Noel Katz, a great pianist and composer. And what do we got here, too? You know I play his album Sesti all the time on my show. Now, today we're going to be talking about his new one, In Your Ear, love the title, Funny Songs. I've got to try to remember my playlist as I'm working off a small keyboard today. Okay, both albums deliver an uplifting assortment of humorous songs. The new one serves up compositions by Jeff Ward, Don Puglisi, Joe Mulligan, Noel Katz, Rick Ryle, and Carozza himself. It also includes his first ever cover track, She Turned Out to Be the Girlfriend of a Boyfriend of Mine, originally sung by Eddie Cantor in the 1928 musical show Whoopi. I love Eddie Cantor songs. He should have called it Zesty too, not a fluke. Follow him on Facebook with people. He's funny. Let's just start with a little Tom Carozza funny. Now, should I start with that one? I'm not sure. Okay, let me get here. Sorry for the holdup. I had it all queued up. And I'm working on a small one here. Well, let me play something from Zesty first while we're getting set up.
Please hold.
Grandmother's maiden name. 14th is in town number 3.
Important to us.
My representative will come up shortly.
Shortly.
Important to us.
By the way, I want to mention, I love that song, that today's show is dedicated to our friend Doug Nervick, a major musical contribution to all of us at some point or another. Love playing with him. I think he played on my Christmas sample that I play on here, and he also wrote this song with Tom Carosa, which I love.
You've got the eyes of a princess, the hands of a clock. Your hair is flaxen and red. You've got the legs of a table and the arms of a jock. But I can't change the shape of your head. Our dinner's alone, I'm romantic and tender. But when it's all done and said, I close the door, I go out on a bender, 'cause I can't change the shape of your head. Don't know what's your point, man, when you said all your dreams came true. But there's a fly in the ointment, 'cause this is something that I just can't do.
Tom Carosa there. Love that. Okay, today's show is dedicated to Doug Nervick. We still love you, Doug. Oh, I see Tom Carosa's on the line, so I'm going to open up his microphone if he's listening. Be prepared. Clear your throat. Have your sip of coffee. Here you come.
Hey there,
hello, Tom Carosa. I can't change the shape of your head. Now, was that written by you and Doug Nervick? Or?
Doug and I wrote that song together in his apartment. And the funny thing about that, it's so sweet. It's so funny. And I could hear lines that I know he came up with. I would have never come up with some of those things. But,
he's very clever with words.
Yes. And it was a wonderful collaborative experience. It was the first song we had written together. And then I started singing it in little shows, you know, at the Duplex and things like that. And it was a big hit. And it's very poetic. It's very fun. And I'm going to tell you something else, that pow at the end, totally dug. He's the one who just, very comedically one day, he just said pow and he threw his fist in the air. And I said, well, that's one way to end the song, Doug. All right, let's do it that way.
I love the pal.
That's him. I can picture him doing it every time I hear that in a song. And I can't change it. This is a funny. All right, so somebody once asked me, where did the title come from, Can't Change the Shape of Your Head? This is a very weird story. My mother's Lithuanian, and sometimes she would, I don't know what she would just say, I was a roundhead. This must have some great importance in Lithuania that I'm unaware of, that you're unaware of, only she's aware of. And I used to just let it roll off my back. And one day we were grocery shopping. We came out into the parking lot, and she did it again. She said something, "Oh, you're a round head." And I shouted, "Well, I can't change the shape of my head." And like two people turned around. And it stuck in my mind, so the phrase was always there, and it just turned it into a song. And
well,
how are you,
pretty
Nancy?
Funny.
What's going on with you, Cookie?
Well, as you know, Tom Carozza and I, yeah, I'm having fun in the snow. As you know, Tom Carozza and I, for those of you who don't know, Betty Jo Tucker is in the house, and she loves your music, and she's in the chat room and says, "Hi, Tom, love that Carozza." Okay.
Hi, Betty Jo.
And she says, "What a great guest today, and you've just started." Oh, my goodness. So give us a little backstory on Tom Carozza. You started
Let's tell them the Tom Carozza and Nancy Lombardo story. That's more interesting than just the Tom Carozza story.
Well,
Nancy and I go back 80, 90 years. We were the founding members of the First Amendment, which we had our own theater on number 2 Bond Street. Did you already say this? Am I repeating you?
No, go ahead. Uh-huh.
And so we've done improv together and taught together and performed together really for decades now. It's kind of ridiculous. And so we go way, 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 way back. And I watch your public access TV show on Friday nights here in New York City, right? Fun stuff.
Yes, but Tom, you have a background. You started with the Groundlings in Chicago?
No, I didn't. I was never.
You
the
didn't?
Groundlings aren't in Chicago.
Second City.
Yes. The It's very odd. I did it while I was in high school. I swear to God I did. The minute I got my driver's license, I started going to take class at Second City, which was a 45-minute drive, mostly on expressways. I don't know where I got the chutzpah to do that, but I did, and it was marvelous. And this is why I am the way I am when it comes to improv. There's, you know, I'm kind of a purist because I got it from the best school, I think, in the world for improv, of course, Second City in Chicago, hello. So, and at that time they had a 6-level course, I believe it's 5 now, and they were very strict. It wasn't you just get up there and say something. I mean, we didn't even speak until the 3rd level of classes. The rest of it was body work and training and mental preparation and, you know, a lot of technique. So, that was thrilling.
Well, I like the not speaking part. How long did you do that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
and, you know, even now when I teach, I have people do silent scenes, and they're fascinating. You know what I mean? It's all there. You know, it's the words sometimes ruin it. You know how that is. It's
I totally believe in that the most important part is that you see and then you hear. So you don't have to be snap, snap, Robin Williams funny.
Right,
you can do something.
Right.
You know, something with just a look.
Shut up.
Sometimes I can't look at you because I'll start laughing.
Yes.
Because I know the look.
Well, there's that danger, too. But yes.
And so now you're teaching improv in the city? Or
no,
you still
I taught one last night at the spur of the moment. But, no, I'm not teaching right now. I've done a ton of it, though. And it is it's really one of the best things I've ever done with my life. It's just so much fun. It's better than watching TV. You're actually seeing things come to life. You're seeing people get empowered through improv. You don't have to be an actor to take it. Anybody, in fact, everybody should take improv classes wherever they can. It's, you know what it's like. It's very, very empowering. You get your inner thoughts get validated, and your artistic self steps forward. It's really, really, really fun. On top of that,
it's definitely fun. And speaking of that, going back a little bit. Tom Carozza had a radio show. Tell us about the radio show.
I actually had 2, and this was our good friend and fellow First Amendment-er Jane Brucker had gotten me into some radio stations, and I actually got in there with a friend or two at a time, and we would get suggestions phoned in live on the radio, and we would do improvs live on the radio, oftentimes to music, not all the time, but sometimes we would. And the years I'm remembering, I'll tell you right now, is in the late 1980s. I know what years they are. It started in 1986 and went on from there. And luckily enough, I kept copies of all of those. And there's a compilation called the Hubbub Tapes because they did it for about 2 years. So I had tons and tons of cassette tapes.
Yes, you have many, many of them. And if they want to get your CDs, they should contact you on Facebook. Is that correct?
Oh, that's dangerous, but yes. But they'll be available on Amazon really soon. I have a little problem with the art department. I don't want to get into details or my brilliant graphic artist, Danny Driscoll, will slaughter me. But, you know, it's going to be available really soon on Amazon. All three.
Mm-hmm. That'll be terrific. Yeah. Speaking of one of those improvised moments, so what we would do, Tom Carozza, we would have a record. That is a plastic cylinder which you place on a round table which spins and you put a needle on it, kids, and it makes the
vinyl.
Music.
The smell of vinyl.
Vinyl. And so Tom would just randomly pick any song, so he'd invite you up to perform with him at this radio station, and callers could call in and give suggestions, and based on those suggestions, we would create a scene and be inspired by the music. Now, Tom would never tell his guest what song he was going to play beforehand.
Well, I didn't really know myself. It was just, you know, I would randomly choose one, so we were
so
both
he would
kind
drop the needle down, and we would begin. So based on that, here is a recording from the Hubbub Tapes with Tom and I. I think some of you may have heard this, Betty Jo. And let me give a shout-out to Betty Jo real quick. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Check her out. All right, so this one is called Hurry Roger. Totally improvised.
The man. The boy. The legend. Roger. We loved Roger so much. Yet, watching him there, pale, disgustingly sick, things on his face. Gee, Roger, you look gross.
They said I'm getting better, Ingrid.
They lied. I'm sorry, Roger. I didn't know how to break it to you, but you don't have long, Roger. Not only that, Roger, you have no friends. We took a poll to see who would come here. I lost. I'm here now, Roger, on a bet.
You're my wife, Ingrid. If you wouldn't come to visit me in the hospital in my last Thursday afternoon, who would? Certainly not my daughter.
No, not your daughter.
The daughter I tried so hard to be a good father for, Ingrid.
That's right, Roger. She's off. She's becoming a punkette. She's getting her hair cut now in celebration of the insurance money to come. We'll all miss you, Roger, but not that much.
I couldn't help noticing that you were still seeing Bernard Lois, our insurance salesman, Ingrid.
Yes, and we've doubled your policy. It's great, Roger, the things that I will get after you go away. My benefits will increase. I'll be able to afford everything you never could buy me, Roger, and I want to thank you for that.
I tried to be a good husband, Ingrid. I tried to be a good father to that rotten brat. But now my time is short, Ingrid. I know that bright white light is telling me to come hither. And soon I'll walk through that door we call life and death, and I'll be into the beyond.
And if you die by 7:45, I'll win the office pool, Roger. Do you think you could rush it a little?
Well, I'll try, honey. I didn't know they were placing bets on the actual time.
Yes.
Promise me something, Ingrid.
What? Anything, Roger. I will keep it.
Promise me if you do remarry to Bernard Lois that you won't let him... Goodbye.
Roger? 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 Come on. Roger? Are you really dead? Are you playing a joke, Roger? Come on, Roger. Oh, Roger. Roger was gone. And we'll all miss him. Well, that's stretching a bit. But when Roger reaches that door, or if Roger reaches that door, there will be someone behind him waiting. Waiting and hoping. And hoping that Roger will never return. Goodbye, Roger. Good riddance. Let's scatter his ashes in the wind and hope it hits anywhere.
Oh, I love that one. I really love that one. And you know what? I have to point out to the listeners that we had, like you said, people phoned in suggestions. There were three. One was hospital. One was punkette, which you jammed in there beautifully, Nancy, because we had to work it in somehow. I was leading up to it with our rotten daughter, but you actually got the word punkette in there. And the third suggestion was Bernard Lavoie. Yeah, and that's why I kept bringing in Bernard Lavoie, our insurance salesman. But and the music was, I think the music, the Blue Lagoon. I think that's the soundtrack from the Blue
Lagoon. Is that
Lagoon.
What it was? Oh my God, Shades of Blue
pretty
Lagoon.
Funny, right?
Yeah, but it is pretty funny that we did improvise. It's a pretty good tragic, terrible story. But,
I know, but it's very funny, and we didn't know what we were gonna do. I didn't know I was gonna cry. I, you know, it was just gonna happen. And
I didn't know I was gonna kill you in the hospital.
Something like that.
So which made
and
it
you
a
know,
lot of
I,
fun.
This, yes, and Nancy knows this, but most people don't really know this. I just happen to have a very good memory, not the freaky kind like Mary Lou Henner or anybody you see on 60 Minutes, but I just have a good memory. And that day, I remember perfectly, Nancy. It was one of the very first radio improvs I did. That one was at WBAI, and I wormed my way again into someone's radio show. And I called you at the last minute, and we both showed up wearing the exact same thing, a long white shirt with a red necktie. It was one of those sublime moments. There it is.
God, I don't know how you remember all of that.
I know. I just happen to remember things like that. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So when I hear Hurry Roger, that's what I'm picturing.
But, you know, now that I think about, if you see any of Tom and I's, not mine, pictures from the 80s, if you go back to any of the flashback pictures that he has on his website, Tom, we were hipsters before there were hipsters.
Yeah, I guess so. We were hopping.
We were wearing bow ties and ties and suspenders and old clothing, vintage.
Yeah, that's
what?
Right. I think
we were doing vintage clothing.
Yes, we were. I love that. The Unique Clothing Warehouse. Remember that place? An antique boutique down by our theater. Nearby.
Oh yeah, we had so much fun. But we were wearing vintage clothes before people. We were wearing the Hawaiian shirts before it was trendy.
Yeah.
We were wild and crazy. All right, so from your new CD, I love this next song I'm going to play, Girlfriend. Can you give us a little backstory on that?
Wow, all right. Well, you know, when you're an actor, you're supposed to have an audition song. And the rule, if you really want to be the right kind of actor, is your audition songs have to be from a Broadway show. If it's something, unless they really want a pop song or whatever, they really want an example of your Broadway chops, and you're supposed to choose a song from a Broadway show. Well, that always irked me, so I really dug to find the perfect song for me, and I did. This was my audition song for a long, long time. It's called She Turned Out to Be the Girlfriend of a Boyfriend of Mine. Eddie Cantor sang it in the 1928 Broadway show Whoopee, and then did it also in the movie. It kills me that this song got written and got that far. When you listen to the lyrics, it's extremely forward. It's kinky. It's fun. It's sexy. And it's just,
you know, a lot of Eddie Cantor's songs were on the body side. He got away with murder.
And you know, really, this was—I can't believe this just got through, and no one has picked it up and ran with it since, as far as I know. And it was a pleasure to record it. My producer Rick Ryle and I really went for some vintage sounds on this, and it turned into a great track.
Yeah, it's great. Betty Jo Tucker especially will like this because of Movie Attic Headquarters. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. I got to get her plugged in. And tomorrow she's going to be doing the film critics will predict the Oscar winners. So
it's
going to be great. So, all right, let's play from his new CD, In Your Ear, Tom Carosa's Girlfriend. Here we go.
Ladies, would you mind leaving the room? For a moment, I'd like to have a word with your husbands. Men, is your wife tired of drying her hair with a vacuum cleaner? Does she look absolutely pathetic doing it? Then maybe it's time that you bought her the Exhaler, an exciting new handheld hair dryer that plugs into any wall. The Exhaler even has two speeds, because some days are much more frantic than others for the little lady. Think about it. Don't you deserve a more beautiful wife? So pick up the Exhaler today, and you'll be married to a whole new woman tonight. It'll have you exhaling, too. The Exhaler from Leave Her Industries, the company that puts you first. Now, the Leave Her Variety Hour, broadcasting from high atop the Squeezit Inn in picturesque Blue Island, Illinois, continues with Tom Carosa and the Tom Carosa Orchestra performing another great of 1928. Take it away, won't you? Love came to me in the springtime, just like the blossoms I felt.
I thought that June would be ringtime, which proves that you never can tell. I used to call her pet names, tell her she was divine, but she turned out to be the girlfriend of a boyfriend of mine. I used to take her places, she liked to dance and dine, but she turned out to be the new friend of an ex-friend of mine. I found that love was just a joke. Yeah, I learned what a broken heart meant. I even started out to get a kitchenette apartment. Her lips were just like candy, her kisses were just like wine, but she turned out to be the real friend of a heel friend of mine. I thought that we'd be married, sign on the dotted line, but she turned out to be the soulmate of a cellmate of mine. Life to me was just one big thrill. Yeah, nobody could be prouder. Now life is just a bitter pill, a capsule and a powder. Why am I pale and nervous? Why do I weep and whine? Cause she turned out to be the girlfriend and a boyfriend of mine.
There it is.
Wow, 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 wow.
What did I do?
What did I do?
I'm asking you anew. Give me a clue.
Give me a clue.
What made you say toodaloo? I wish I knew.
I wish I knew.
What's bugging
what's
you?
What's bugging you?
You say we're
you
through.
Say we're through.
I feel so blue.
I feel so blue.
What did I
did
do?
I, what did I? Did I? What did I?
What did I do?
What did I do?
Our love has gone askew. Oh, please can't you?
Oh, please can't you?
Drop the other shoe. Can I break through?
Can I break through?
Can I undo?
Can I undo?
Can we renew?
Can we renew?
Can I construe?
Can I construe?
What did I do?
Flash my
why,
your place.
Why, oh, why.
did not know about you. Have you gone to Peru or to Guatemala? One thing is true, I bit off more than I could chew. What did I do?
What did I do?
You're in such a stew.
Mulligan, I hear on the back.
The whole thing is Joe Mulligan. Our delightful friend Joe Mulligan wrote the song.
God.
Now, yeah, Joe Mulligan is also a First Amendment person. He's also a stand-up comedian and a stand-up comedian with a guitar. He improvises music on cruise ships
Damn
around
him.
The world. And he, by pure coincidence, he was the honeymoon comedian for my niece Abby and her husband Nathan. And he wrote the song for me, and look at it. Now, I have to really explain some technical aspects of the recording of the song. Joe Mulligan did write the song, totally hilarious song. He also did all the backup vocals. So the day we recorded this, he was all ready to go. It was very intense, and he did his backup vocals first. And if you took my voice out of it and just listened to what he did, you would be astounded. They're three very tight-knit harmonies. They were in his head. He did them. It took him about 2.5 hours to lay down three-part tight harmonies that were strictly the backup vocals. It was a lot of work, a lot of concentration, very tense. So then he sits down, and it was my turn. So, you know, I get up to the microphone, and I thought I was just going to sing it like a pretty song. You know, what did I do? You know, nothing too crazy. And he was not happy at all, and I did about two takes. He pulled me aside. He said, Tom, you've got to do this as a character. It's not going to work if you're just going to sing it. I disagreed with him because I thought we were just going to do music, but he said, do it. Try it one take in character, whatever that means to you, and do the whole song straight through and see what happens. And that's what happened. Because what did I do? Suddenly there was a character. It wasn't me singing the song. It is literally somebody else, and it's
well, it pays to pay attention.
What?
It pays to pay attention and to take advice.
I know, and I was open to the suggestion because I just thought we were going to do a pretty song. You know, it didn't occur to me that it was going to be, you know, a super character-driven, humorous thing. But there it is. It turned out great, but it was a lot of work.
You know what? Yeah, Tom, it almost sounds like it could be part of a musical. That you know, like it would be from the Tom Rosa collection. Musical. I don't know. You know what? You might be able to put all these songs together and make it a musical, Tom. You have some great
my
songs
sister said
in here.
That too. They're pretty diverse when you hear the whole album. It's a
Well, I think if you combine The Shape of Your Head, What Did I Do?
Mm-hmm.
What's That Smell?
Well,
of course, is my favorite. I think so. And said, What's That Smell? Of course,
what's
in my
theatrical.
What's That
Smell? Another Doug Nervick song. He and I wrote that with Glenn Roy.
Yeah, it's another Doug Nervick song. Oh, I got to play it because it's my favorite. Here we go.
You're going to play it?
Yep.
Oh.
Wait. No, what happened?
I don't know. That's the wrong one.
That's the wrong one, right?
It is.
No,
I
got to stop
it.
No, I'm going to play. Now, you travel a lot back and forth to Chicago, and this one here, it's not Christmas, but it's O'Hare?
Christmas and O'Hare. This is funny. All right. So part of when you start recording albums, which I didn't do until I was about 50. Hello. Good morning. It's a party. the big. You don't just show up, sing a few songs, and go home. It's nothing like that at all. It's way harder than anyone would ever suspect. In the first place, you have to find songs, right? I have to find songs. Believe me, there are people who look at their phone and see me on their caller ID and say, oh, God, no, it's Tom Carosa. He wants me to write a song with him. So I'm always knocking on doors. And this is such a case. I had written the lyrics to Christmas in O'Hare, and I asked everybody to work with me on it to write the music, to put it to music. Even Doug Nervick. Everybody said no. Finally, at knife point, I got Noel Katz to do it. He did it with a grudge, sort of, because he doesn't collaborate. He writes music and lyrics. He did not want to really do me this favor, but like I said, it was a big knife. And he put it to music and tweaked it a little here and there, and it's proof that if you want a good Christmas song, get a Jew to write it.
Oh, God. All right, let's play it. Christmas at O'Hare. Sure. I'm going to listen.
Unexpected cold front from the north has thrown a mighty curveball in our way. 3 feet of snow is coming forth, and everyone must sit right down and stay like piggies in a pen. Flying never been so risky. It seems I am the only one who tried. What I wouldn't do for love or whiskey, and find a place to curl up in an idle arm aloft again. Christmas are closed, trapped within its lair is worse than I suppose. Even with that super saver fare, it looks like I got off, 'cause airports are so spare and leave me lonely. Here I sit enclosed without you. It'll be fun to see what Santa sees, a cozy glow in house after house, with hopes and dreams and fantasies, and no creature stirring, not even a moose. It looks so perfect from above. The silent night keeps growing. The weather is fair and square. Why shouldn't it be snowing? Oh, please, please, please hear my prayer until I'm there. Oh,
hey, Tom, Betty Jo says, excellent phrasing and tone.
Ooh, I'm going to write
that down.
This
melody is a lot like Springtime to Hitler.
Now, I have to point out, again, this was co-written with Noel Katz, and he and I at one time wrote Area 51, the musical, which I produced at a little theater for 16 performances, AEA.
I love that show.
Yeah, and so he's still writing beautiful songs. He's still around. I also want to say that some of these songs are on YouTube with little videos like that one.
Oh, that's right. And should they go if they want to see them? Oh, by the way, Cyanide, Marco Polo, Cyanide is listening all the way from somewhere outside of Amsterdam.
Excellent. Let's rent a van and drive to Amsterdam, Nance. Come on.
That ain't happening.
Wow.
So go ahead, tell the story.
What story? I don't know. It's just some of these things are on YouTube is what I was saying. All you have to do is look up my
YouTube
name. The trick is
Tom Carozzo.
Correctly. Yeah. Yeah,
and,
on YouTube.
And look that up.
I got it several times.
And you'll
find it.
Believe it or not, Tom, we're down to the last 5 minutes.
Oh,
so,
no.
Is there, like, you know how time
yeah,
flies
so
when you're having
my
fun.
Team because I have a wonderful first I have to thank all the people who write songs for me. They're just a marvelous. Jeff Ward, Joe Mulligan, Rick Ryle, Noel Katz, Don Puglisi, Christopher Hoyle, and then I have my team, Phil Nee and Danny Driscoll and Ivy Vale, who've helped me produce two beautiful CDs of music, which will soon be available on Amazon. And I guess the Hubbub Tapes will be there, too, if you want to visit Old Radio Improv with us from the First Amendment folks. And that's it. Everybody get out there. Live your life. Push on the door. Mark next. Get out there.
Now, I did Take find my favorite
class.
Song. What's that smell?
Oh,
I found
God.
It. So Facebook
All
friend
right.
Tom Carosa and Betty Jo Tucker tomorrow movie Attic headquarters at 4 p.m. And she's going to be talking Oscars. Marco, thank you for joining us. Now, the show might cut out, but the song's going to continue. So this show will remain archived, Tom, so people
okay.
can download it on iTunes for free. Thank you
Whee!
For being a guest, Tom Carosa.
Thank
here
you,
we
Matthew
go.
Lombardo.
What's that smell? Thanks, Tom.
See ya.
Cheese and eggs. Holy schmoly, it's early. My poor legs, get your butts out of bed. Curds and whey, I've a very good price today. If there's someone who cannot pay, you can put it on layaway.
Don't forget, Tom's songs will be available on
What's
Amazon.
What's that smell? What an odious odor. I can't tell. Is it coming from me?
No!
What's that smell? It is coming from everywhere. Smells like sewage and burning hair. Something treacherous fills the air.
Good morning, Theobald.
Morning, Dr. Bickerstaff.
This morning, Theobald, I'd like an extra pint.
What's that smell? Oh, thank goodness it's not just me. Rings a bell like fermented gangrene. Don't smell swell. Catastrophic and gloomy. Sort of like you touch. Oh.
it's a jingle.
Carosa, his songs will be available soon on Amazon, so follow him and check it out. Great guest today. Thank you for the extended version of our show. I'm Nancy Lombardo. This is Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in.